All right, Rebbe, say good morning. Let us begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Brand new parak. We thank our sponsors for this morning's shir. Our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, dedicating all the shirim and drashos this month for Aliyas and Neshamas of their grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Leif Halevi, Sarleya Bas Dov Ber, Menach Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarita Bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Chimin, Ben Yisrael and Sarah Bas Yaakov. Our week of learning has been dedicated by Jack Bennett in memory of Skan Uriel Peretz, who was a platoon commander in the 51st Battalion of Golani and died in a Hezbollah ambush in southern Lebanon in November of 1998. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Adam and Leslie Rosen. In honor of all the mental health care workers, Hashem should give them strength, support, and knowledge to care for their patients and themselves during this pandemic. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Yonason and Rachel Wolf. With that, Karas HaTov to the entire Kehila for providing Rabbi Yonason with a Zoom home away from home during coronavirus shutdown. We thank our DAF sponsors, Daniel and Sippy Getz, in honor of the birth of their daughter Yael and in the merit that she should grow to lead a life of Torah. And Michael and Rachel Turniansky, in memory of Michael's mother, Jeanette Turniansky, Shendel Bas Mordechai. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and all of our children will in Mirat Hashem grow to be true B'nai and B'nos Yisrael. And also with that, let us begin. So we are picking up the new parak today, Mirat Hashem. Today's daf is Ayin Zayin 77, and we are picking up on Ayin Vav Amud Beis 67b at the Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah, we'll say, so still focusing a little bit on the Malacha of Hotzah, it is quite fascinating to see how much time Hotzah gets in the Masechta. Really very interesting. So in the event, we say as follows, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Meziga Sakal. So let's remember again, kind of picking up on the theme of last parak as well, which is what happens, the shear. In other words, remember, as we pointed out, it's not just enough to carry something out on Shabbos, but in order to be chayiv, you must actively carry out a significant shear, a significant amount. So now we're trying to focus on what is the definition, ultimately, again, of significance. So the Gemara says, okay. Actually, did I do something wrong over here? Rashi, did I do something?
I think the video went off. Did you touch the
cord? Yeah, sorry. I'm back.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Had to fix my makeup. Okay, so we'll say, so with that, let's go right there. So the Gemara says as follows. Samotzi yayin kedei meziga sakos chalav. I'm sorry. Hayotzi yayin kedei meziga sakos. So we'll say, if a person goes in and carries out wine, so remember again, you would carry out the amount that you chayiv for carrying out of wine is the enough to literally again dilute a glass of wine. Remember, the way they made wine is they had wine concentrate. So what you would have is you would have a jug of wine concentrate, and every single time you wanted some wine, you would go ahead and take some wine concentrate, pour it into a cup, add it with water. So how much wine concentrate are you chayiv for transporting on Shabbos? Enough to dilute a glass of wine. Chalav, what about milk? Kedei gmiya, enough to swallow. Divash, honey. Kedei litin ala kasis, enough to put on a sore. Shemen, oil. Kedei lasuch ever katan, in order to go ahead and smear on a small limb. We'll discuss what that means. Mayim, what about, again, water? Kedei lasuf banas a kilor, enough water to make a kilor mixture. Kilor, I will say, was an eye ointment. So you mix some type of herb, some type of powder with water. So water, you're chayv if you carry out enough to go ahead and make kilor. Usha'ar kalamashkin viravias. And all other drinks, all other liquids, their shir is a revias. V'chala shofchin, or we'll say shofchin literally means waste water. Again, we'll discuss what that means in the Gemara as well. Biravias. Reb Shimon Omer, kulan biravias. Reb Shimon says, at the end of the day, in fact, the shir for every single liquid is always a revias. V'lo ne'emru kala shi'urin halalu ela lematzni ehen. So we'll say, we saw this Reb Shimon quoted actually on Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf. So the Mishnah says over here as follows. Reb Shimon holds that Tanakama holds that liquids each have their subjective shi'urim. So remember again, in order to be chayiv transporting a liquid on Shabbos, you have to carry out a chashuv amount. What's the definition of chashuv? It depends. Liquid to liquid has a different shir of chashivus. Reb Shimon says no. The shear for liquids is a revius. That's the shear. That's the shear. Just the difference is that what? That halacha lemaisa, If you happen to store a smaller amount than a revius, then that amount is considered to be chashiv for you, and therefore you will be chayiv for otsa even for an amount smaller than a revius. Look at Rashi. V'lo ne'emru. Sh'lo ne'emru shirin shav mishna el ha'masnein levad. V'chazer ha'matzniya v'hotzio chayiv. Aval shar kol adam shotzio eino chayiv. So we'll say, so this is shitas Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds that in general the shear for liquids is a revius, but if you happen to store an amount that is less than a revius, you demonstrate that that smaller amount is chashiv for you, and once it's chashiv for you, you are chayiv for its hotzah. Says the Gemara Tana, Kedemi Zigas Kos Yafa. So remember, the Tana Kama said that the shear for carrying wine is enough to dilute a nice cup. Kos Yafa. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My Kos Yafa? Koshal Bracha. This refers to the type of cup that you would use for Kiddush, for Birkas Hamazon, for benching. So if you carry out enough wine in order to go ahead and dilute a proper cup of wine, then halacha l'maisa, you are chayiv for that. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, koshal bracha. So we'll say, what are the amounts of dilution for a koshal bracha? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, koshal bracha, sarach shehebo rova revius. Kadesh yim zikenu, jim zigenu, v'yamot al revius. So we'll say the halacha is that proper dilution ratio is 1/4 or 1 part wine concentrate to 3 parts water. So 3 parts water, 1 part wine concentrate, that is the proper balance to make a good glass of wine. Now we'll say, now remember, of course, you can make a glass of wine however you want. What the Gemara is saying over here is to be a kos yafa, which is a type of kos that you would use for benching, for kiddush, something like that, for koshal bracha, that should have 3 parts water, one part wine concentrate. Amar Rava, Rava said, af anan nami tanina tapa vayim zayin, hamotzi yayin kedei mizigas kos. We learned in the Mishnah, that if a person goes ahead and carries out wine enough to dilute a proper kos, a kosher v'taniyala, kedei mezigas kos yafa, and we said it's enough to make a nice glass of wine, v'katoni seifa, u'sha'ar kol ha'mashkin b'revius. And I will say, remember again, what does the end of the Mishnah say? So the end of the Mishnah says, and all other liquids. So we'll say the way our Mishnah set up is as follows. There are certain liquids that have a different amount that make it a davar chashuv. But in general, unless you're one of the mentioned liquids in the Mishnah, if you fall into the general family of liquids, of mashkin, your shear is revius. So the default shear, the default amount to be chayiv for hotzah on a liquid is a revius. Unless, of course, you have a specific amount that's mentioned before, revius. V'rava l'tamei. Now, we'll say, now watch this. Now, Rava goes according to his reasoning. Da'ama Rava, kol chamra d'lodari. Al chad tlas mayalav chamru. So we'll say, because Rava holds that in general, in order to make a glass of wine is only considered to be a glass of wine if it is 3 parts water and 1 part wine. Okay, good. So we'll say, so therefore again, where the Gemara is holding right now is the Mishnah gives a little bit of an it's not ambiguous, but it's just a lax definition. I know that the amount of wine I'm chayiv for carrying out on Shabbos is the amount necessary to dilute a glass of wine. I just don't know exactly what that means. To which the Gemara now defines, it's the amount of wine necessary to make amount of wine concentrate to make an amount of wine, which I will say essentially is 1/4 of a revius. 1/4 of a revius is the amount of wine concentrate you need to make a proper cup of wine. Amar Abayi shtei tshuvos b'dar. Rabbi says, there's two problems with your definition. Chada disnan v'hamazuk shnei chelki mayim v'echad yayin min yayin hashironi. So here's a problem. We'll say, do you have another Mishnah? The Mishnah says that when you want to make a nice diluted glass of wine, what do? You use 2 parts water and 1 part yayin shironi. Now both say, now yayin hashironi is, Rashi says, shegadol b'sharon shem medinu. This is a wine, right? Sharon grapes, right? Sharon grapes from the country of Sharon, or the region of Sharon. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that what? That it sounds like that to make a properly diluted glass of wine, you need 2 parts water and 1 part wine, right? So both say, so again, that's obviously a different shir. Va'od. Mayim bekad umitzdarfin. But see, here's the other part that Abai is bothered by. You know, both say the shear of. Let's go back for just a second. So he says, Rava, you're saying that the amount of wine concentrate that you're chayiv for transporting on Shabbos is 1/4 of a revius. 1/4 of a revius. right? Because that's the amount. You would take a quarter of a ravias, mix it with 3/4 of a ravias water, and that makes a proper glass of wine. Abai says I have two problems with it. First of all, another Mishnah says it's 2 parts water to 1 part wine. So your shiurim are off. That's number one. Number two, the wine concentrate itself is only chashiv when introduced with the three part, with the other parts of water. In other words, even going with your shear, that it's 3 parts water, 1 part wine, 1/4 of a ravias of wine is not a significant thing. You can't do anything with that by itself. The only thing you could do with it is ultimately, again, mix it with water. So why should you even be chayiv at all for carrying just in a quarter of a ravias of wine concentrate? Literally it means, and the water is still in the barrel. So the water is somewhere else, the wine concentrate is in my hand, and even though I know the mixture itself forms something chashiv, but right now it's not mixed. So why should I be chayiv for that? To which the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Rava says, 1 second. Hadika amet shnei chelki mayim ve'echad yayin min ha'yayin ha'shironi, yayin ha'shironi l'chud d'rafi. So first of all, so Rava says to Abaye, calm down. Because look explicitly at the Mishnah you quoted, right? The Mishnah you quoted is talking about a specific type of wine. So Rava says, yes, what I say, that proper dilution ratios are 1/4 wine concentrate to 3/4 of a ravias water, that's normal wine. Everyone knows that Yayin Hashironi, right? Everyone knows that Yayin Hashironi is literally rach, right? It's a softer wine, which essentially just means that halacha lemaisa, you need more wine concentrate of Yayin Hashironi. It's a weaker wine. It's a weaker wine. So therefore, again, if you dilute it with 3/4 of a ravias of water, then ultimately, again, it's not going to be proper wine. So the shiurim for Yayin Hashironi are better off 1/3 wine, 2/3 water. Inami hasamishum chazusa, avalatama ba'itfe. The other possibility is you can make a drink that looks like wine with 1 part wine, 2 parts water. But ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and make it taste properly, you have to use my shiurim. So I will say, either Rav is saying different types of wine indeed have different dilution ratios, or no, the ability to go ahead and make a drink look like wine, you could do 1 part wine, 2 parts water. But the ability to make it taste like proper wine requires 1 part wine, 3 parts water. But the Gemara says, "Ka'amrit mayim bekadim mitzarfin," and that's what you said. How could the wine concentrate ultimately again be considered something significant when it's not even mixed with the water? The water's in the barrel, and yet you're saying they're combining. So Rava gives a very simple answer. The Inyan Shabbos midi d'chashev ba'inon v'hanami ha'chashev. Which Rava says, Abai, remember, this is the principle we've seen over and over. When it comes to Shabbos, in order to be chayiv for hotzah, for carrying something out, what has to happen? You have to transport something that is chashev. So Rava says, Rava will say, a quarter of a ravias of wine is chashiv. I know that it can't be drunk on its own. I know that it's not usable right now. But in the eyes of the Welt, in the eyes of the world, this is considered to be something that is chashiv, and therefore, ultimately, again, you're chayiv for otzah. Which also is something very important. Rav is teaching us, essentially, that in order to be chayiv for otzah, so you don't necessarily have to transport something that is actively usable now in its current state. You just have to transport something that is considered to be a davar chashuv, that is considered to be important. So although the quarter of a ravias of wine by itself doesn't actually do anything for me, but because it is a davar chashuv, therefore halacha lemaisa I'll be chayiv for transporting it out. Good. So let's go back to Tana. Yavish pekizayis tiv Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says, I will say that if you have Yavish, now I will say, Yavish, from here Rashi points out, is Yayin Karosh. What happens if you have congealed wine? Congealed wine. So the Brisa says, if you have congealed wine, you're chayiv if it's a kezayis amount. So you're chayiv for carrying a kezayis of congealed wine. Now Rashi says, why is that? Me'ikara, it's in the second Y line of Rashi. The Me'ikara, Havabe Revius, Ubekarosh Revius, Shlema, Beginan, the Lab Bar Mizis. Well, say, the Gemara is assuming over here that a congealed kezayis, right, what in its liquid form would be a ravias. So therefore, Rabbi Nosson says, if you have congealed wine, so you are high, a kezayis of congealed wine, You're chayiv because the kezayis of congealed wine is in fact the revius in the liquid form. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, Amru Davar Echad. So Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Nassan, who we just quoted before, who says again, when it comes to congealed wine, you're only chayiv if you carry a kezayis, because halacha lemaisa, a kezayis when liquefied will become a revius. So Rabbi Yosef says, So Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda said the same thing. Rabbi Nassan Hadam, so we just quoted Rabbi Nassan before, right? Rabbi Nassan holds that Allah Kalamaisa for carrying congealed wine, you're only chayef if you carry a kezayis. For Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda disanyo. What does Rabbi Yosef Huda say? He said as follows: disanyo. Rabbi Huda Omer, shish of devarim mikule be shamichon be silal. There are six things that Beis Shammai was makel on, lenient on, and Beis Hillel was machmir on. And one of them was dam nevela. When it comes to the blood of an nevela, so let's remember again, the blood of an nevela is an animal that dies on its own, right? Or dies without shechita, I should say. Right? Dies without shechita. So what's the halacha of its blood? Beis Shammai mitarin, or Beis Hillel mitarin. Beis Shammai says that the blood is tar. The blood is tar. So Rashi says over here, Beis Shammai mitarin, the eno kibasra letame benevela bekizayis. V'lo toras mashkin l'tuma kala. So we'll say ultimately again, Beis Shammai holds that the blood of an nevela is not similar to the flesh of an nevela. That whereas the flesh of an nevela can convey tuma, the blood does not. U'Beis Hillel metamin. Beis Hillel ever says no, it's not true. The blood of an nevela does have the ability to go ahead and conduct tuma. Amar Rabbi Yosi, or I should say transmit tuma. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Av kishetimu Beis Hillel lo timu ela bedam sheyesh bo revius. Holyo v'yachol likrosh v'la'amot al kizayis. Ah, here it is. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, and by the way, even Beis Hillel, who says that the blood of an avela does go ahead and convey tumah, that's only by what? That's only by blood that has a revius. Why revius by blood? Because because that way, ultimately, again, when it congeals, it will become a kizayis. So the point over here is that both Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda hold that the shiurim of kizayis and revius are the same. Just again, what is a kizayis in a solid form will become a revius in a liquid form, and what is a revius in a liquid form would ultimately become a kizayis in a solid form. For our purposes, therefore, halacha lemaisa, our Mishnah tells us that if you carry out wine concentrate on Shabbos, how much are you chayif for carrying? A revius. Why? Because that's the amount that you need to make a kos yafa. And if the wine congealed, it would have to be a kizayis. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, well, one second. So you're linking the shitos of Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda. Now, I will say, obviously, they're talking about two very different contexts, right? Rabbi Nassan is the one who says that halacha lemaisa, any item that when it's yavesh is a kizayis, ultimately, again, will become a revius when it's liquid. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda says that Allah Chalamaisa, even Beis Hillel, who holds that the blood of an avela is going to become tame or is tame, that's only true if Allah Chalamaisa, there is a revius of it, because this way again, if it congeals, it goes ahead and becomes a kizayis. Abai now says maybe they don't actually agree. On Abai Dilma, Lohi, at Kanlo Kam Rabbi Nassan Hacha Debay Revius. So let's listen to this. Maybe Rabbi Nassan only holds that you need a revius in order to go ahead and make a kezayis of congealed wine is by wine. Why? Because wine is thin. So maybe that's why you need a shear like a revius in order to make a kezayis. Aval bidam, the samich kezayis lo by revius, but by blood, which generally has a thicker consistency, then halacha lemaisa, maybe you need less in a liquid shear in order to create a kizayis. I mean, or you don't need a full revius in order to make a kizayis. Inami, ad kamo kama Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda hasam de kizayis sagile be revius, ela bedam de samich. Furthermore, again, maybe Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda only holds that halacha lemaisa by blood, the reason why a revius of blood will create a kizayis is because the blood is thick. But one which is thin, maybe you need more than a kezayis in order to translate into a revius. And therefore, even if you take out less than a kezayis, you should be chayiv. So we'll say, so fine. So meaning at the end of the day, the Gemara says just the shittos don't necessarily align with one another. Okay, so we thought we could line up Rabbi Nosson with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because they're speaking in different contexts. Maybe ultimately they don't really line up with one another. Fine, it doesn't bother us so much. At the end of the day, here's what we know: that halacha lemaisa, if on Shabbos you transport out a revius of wine concentrate, you will be chayiv. That's the shear for wine concentrate. Why Rabbi Osai? Because halacha lemaisa, a quarter of a revius of wine concentrate ultimately, again, is going to be enough to go ahead and create a kos yafa, a nice glass of wine. Good. So we go weiter. So we'll say, and remember again, we also solidify our definition that in order to be chayiv for otzah on Shabbos, what you really need to be able to do is to show that the item that you're transporting is chashiv. As long as it's chashiv, then ultimately, again, you will be chayiv for its transport. Chalav kidei gemia. So we'll say, so when it comes to milk, right, you're chayiv for transporting the amount of milk that you could swallow. Say, by the who, kidei gemia or kidei gemia. So we'll say, now we're gonna have some interesting gemaras here. The gemara is asking, actually, a spelling question. When we, is it kidei gemia? Now, gemia means to swallow. So, is it gemia with an ayin, or is it gemia with an aleph? So, Mamash, we'll say, spelling question, right? How do you spell the word? Amram Nachman, we'll say, remember, no one's arguing, this is funny, no one's arguing on the facts, right? Again, we're all in agreement, the amount, your chayiv, if you carry out on Shabbos, a swallow of milk, right? The amount that you could swallow at once. Is swallowing gemia aleph or ayin? So the Gemara says, Amram Nachman bar Yitzchok, hagmi'ini namat mayim mikadech. So we'll say it seems to be that it's gemia with an aleph, based on the pasuk in Chayisara. Right, this is by Eliezer when he runs over to Rivka and he says to her, "Can you please pour me some water from your jug?" Hagmin namak my mikadech. Fine. Ifsa aleph. Next, ibayluhu. We'll say amud beis. Same idea. Garinin o garinin. So we'll say when we spoke about before that halacha lemaisa. Right, we just had this in yesterday's daf. Halacha lemaisa. If you go ahead and when thinking about the shear of carrying out an item, right? Let's say lentils or other things like that. We don't go ahead and count the pit, right? The garinin. So is garinin ultimately against spelled with an aleph or with an ayin? Amar Rava Bar Ula v'nigra me'erkecha. So we'll say this is very interesting. First of all, it's interesting etymologically. Why is a pit called a garin? So it seems to come from the shoresh of gara, which means to detract or to subtract, to take away, to lessen, to diminish. Why? Because we're also saying, you know, when you look at the fruit looks much bigger than it really is. Because at the core of the fruit is something inedible, right? Think about it, supposed to like with a peach, right? So the peach might look, wow, look at all this fruit. But then lemaisa, there's the pit that takes out a good chunk of the fruit. So that's why it's called the garin, because it is gorea. It takes away from the consumable amount of fruit. Pretty amazing. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's an ayin. Ibay lehum, omamos, o omamos. So we'll say, same idea. This is talking about flickering coals. So is omamos with an aleph or with an ayin? Amar yitzhak ravdimi, arazim lo amamuhu began alokim. So we'll say again, based on the pasuk over here, according to the pasuk from Yechezkel, that literally again, the cedars will not extinguish him in the garden of God. See, so amamuhu with an ayin. Ibay lehum, Ma'amtsin tnan o ma'amtsin tnan. So we'll say we'll get to this later on. This is talking about ma'amtsin literally means to close the eyes. This is talking about, we'll see some of what you could do with a person who dies on Shabbos, the ability to close their eyes or not. So the Gemara says, is it ma'amtsin with an aleph or ma'amtsin with an ayin? So the Gemara says, Amrab Chiyabar Abba, Amrab Yochanan, va'otsem einov mira'os bira. He closes his eyes from seeing evil. So we'll say, so over here, what do you see? You see that halach lamaisa, it has an ayin. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so we'll say, so really, just interestingly enough, all of this, the reason this whole thing started is because we just wanted to know how to spell the word gemia. Because halach lamaisa, that's relevant to the Mishnah, right? Is it gemia with an aleph? Is it gemia with an ayin? We see that it's gemia with an aleph. Once the Gemara kind of started that, then halach lamaisa began asking a whole bunch of other questions about spelling as well. So very important. Beautiful. Says the Gemara as follows. Tan Rabbanan. Hamotzi chalav shal behema kedei gemia. Right? If a person goes ahead, now we're going to see that even in the realm of milk, right? Different types of milk have different types of shiurim. So for example, the Braisa says as follows, if you carry out animal milk, so that if you're chayif, if you carry out the amount that you could swallow at once, chalav shel isha, what about human milk, a woman's milk, velovan shel beitza, or for that matter, the white part of an egg, kidei litain b'mishifa shel kilar. That is enough, ultimately, again, to put into a mixture, ultimately, of kilor, of eye ointment, eye salve. I look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the top of Rashi, the third line there from the top in the widest lines. B'mishifa shel kilar, sheregirlin l'shofo b'chalav shel isha. So apparently, one of the ingredients for this eye mixture, ultimately, again, was human milk. You would put a woman's milk as part of this mixture. So it's enough milk for the kilar, to mix into the kilar. So the Gemara says, kilar. What about, again, kilar itself? How much would you be chayif for carrying on Shabbos of kilar? Kedei lashof b'mayim. Enough, ultimately, again, to mix with water. So Rabbi says, so again, if you carry a kilar also was like a concentrate. It must have been some type of powder that you would mix with water and apparently milk in order to make this eye salve, in order to make this eye ointment. So on Shabbos, if you carry enough kilor concentrate, you'll be chayiv. By Rav Ashi, it is very interesting. Kedei shifa o kedei achiza. So we'll say, when thinking about the amount of kilor that you be chayiv for carrying out, is it the amount, ultimately, again, that you need to apply to the eyes? Or is it the amount that you need to apply to the eyes plus the amount that you know will get stuck on the fingers of the person who's applying it? As I was saying, whenever you had a batch of kilar, so you had to realize, again, you need a certain amount for your eyes, but in the application process, some of it gets lost on your fingers. So the shayla is, when figuring out how much kilar I need in order to be chayef for hotzah, so is it just the amount of kilar I need to apply to the eyes, or it's the additional amount, knowing that some of it will get stuck on my fingers? To which the Gemara says, Teku. We don't know. Good. Dvash, kedei litin ala kasis. So we'll say, interestingly enough, honey. How much honey are you chayiv for transporting on Shabbos? Enough to go ahead and put on a sore. So apparently honey would be placed on a sore in order to soothe the sore, heal the sore. Tana. So first of all, the time over here quotes that what? This is so that you put it on the mouth of the sore, right? So apparently we'll say the honey doesn't have to be smeared on the entire sore. It's really just smeared on the tip of the sore, the top of the sore. By Rav Ashi, al kasis, apuma de kula kasis, o dilma amursha kama de kasis, la fuke hodarna de lo. So we'll say, the Gemara just tries to analyze this. Rav Ashi says, does it mean that you go ahead and you put the honey literally again on the top of the entire sore? Or maybe you only have to put it on the tip of the sore, right? But on the sides, you don't have to. To which the Gemara says, Teku. Okay, so again, once again, we know that the shear for honey is the amount that it takes to put on the sore. We're just not sure. Again, I will say, it's just they weren't sure about Metzias. Remember, again, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing esoteric happening over here. There's just literally just like a lack of knowledge about how they actually used honey in this particular medicinal way. Amrav Yehuda, will say, a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, lo bara davar echad levatala. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, there was nothing that was created for naught. We'll say, this is such an incredible Gemara. Everything that exists in this world has a purpose. There's no such thing as something that is not purposeful in this world. And even if we can't see the purpose, we'll say, right? This is like the Mishnah in Avos. Al tihi vaz l'chol adam. Right? Don't go ahead and be dismissive of any person or anything. She'in l'cha adam, she'in l'makom, in l'shar. Every person has their place. Every person has their moment. Everything in this world. So we'll say, this is such an incredible yisod. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world is necessary. Is necessary. There's no such thing as something strange. So I'll say, you know, there's a beautiful story that's told that one time the Magid of Mezrich was walking with his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. And the Magid, the story actually has a couple of different versions of a couple of different personalities. But the Magid was walking and he pulled a leaf, or he pulled like off a tree. And the Baal Shem Tov says, what are you doing? So the Magid says, What's wrong? He says, you just pulled a leaf off the tree. To which the Magid says, yeah. He says, that leaf has a purpose. That leaf has a purpose. What right do you have just to randomly pull a leaf off a tree? Sometimes we look at nature, we look at the world, and we think that there are extra pieces. There are things that are extraneous. So ultimately, you pluck the leaf off the tree. What does it matter? So to which the Gemara says, so ultimately, again, everything in this world has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. But I will say, but you know what the real Mussar is? If every leaf has a purpose, then certainly, again, every person has a purpose. Sometimes we go through life and we think that we don't matter. We think that our actions don't really have an impact. We think that how we live, what we do, what we say, how we interact is not really such a big deal. It only impacts me. It's not true, says the Gemara. Lo bara davar echad livatala. If no leaf was created, right, without a purpose, then Allah has come of a common, the incredible purpose and destiny that each of us has as well. Incredible. So the Gemara gives examples. This is incredible. Bara shavlul lekasis. This Baruch Hu created slugs in order to heal sores. So apparently, we'll say a remedy for sores is you would put a slug on the sore. I think the way that works is once you have a slug on your sore, you totally forget about the sore, right? I think you become pretty preoccupied with the slug that's on your body and suddenly you forget about all your ailments. Bara zvuv litzira. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a fly for a hornet sting. So apparently Rashi points out that if you got stung by a hornet or a wasp, you would take a fly, crush up the fly, and go ahead and put that on the affected area. Yitush linachash. Apparently gnats have the ability to go ahead and take care of a snake bite. Nachash lichafafis. So ultimately, again, apparently snakes are helpful with a type of boil. We'll discuss what that means. Visamames laakrav. And spiders take care of scorpion bites. Okay, we'll see what all this means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Hechi avidle. So we'll say the Gemara's, actually, interestingly enough, the Gemara's most intrigued about this statement that snakes could take care of boils. So how do you go ahead and use snakes to take care of boils? Maisi chadu uchma v'chadu chiyura. You take a white snake, you take a black snake. You v'shalki luhu. You boil them up, cook them up. Take that, make it into some type of paste. V'shayfile. And go ahead and put it on the affected area. And boom, your boils are taken care of. Okay. Turn around. I'm supposed to say a beautiful braisa. Really incredible. Chamisha emos hein. Emas chalash al gibor. I'm supposed to say there are five types of fear, which we'll say under normal circumstances in the world, you normally fear something that is stronger than you and bigger than you. There are five instances, says the Gemara, where something smaller creates fear in the heart of something bigger. The fear of something smaller goes ahead and overtakes something bigger. What are they? For example, the Gemara says, Emas chavosh agibor, Emas mafkia alari. So we'll say the mafkia is puts fear in the heart of the lion. Now, listen, now what's the mafkia? If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says over here, mafkia, chaye ketana v'kola gadol, v'shome v'yarshate bria gidol b'ref. So apparently this mafkia, I don't know what type of animal it is, but it's an animal with a very loud voice. The loud voice makes it sound much larger than it actually is. And as a result of its very loud voice, it even puts fear into the heart of the lion, which is incredible. And what a muster for life. I will say, sometimes people or things or speak with very loud voices that make them sound much bigger than they really are and scare us for absolutely no reason. See, even the Ari, right? Even the lion is scared of this mafkia because it has a very loud voice. Emas yutush al hapio. There is the fear of the gnat on the elephant. Because we'll say, apparently, again, when the gnat gets into the trunk of the elephant, it drives the elephant crazy. Emas samamas ala akrav. There is the fear of the spider upon the scorpion. So remember, again, we'll say, in all of these cases, right, this, of course, the scorpion is stronger than the spider. But for some reason, again, the spider has the ability to hurt the scorpion, so the scorpion is afraid. Emas sanunis ala nesher. There is the fear of the sanunis. We'll say, sanunis is a type of bird. I think it's normally translated as swallow. So that often what it does is, Rashi points out, it nestles itself in the wing of the eagle and prevents the eagle from extending its wing. So even though the eagle is the mightiest of the birds, nevertheless, it's afraid of the smaller bird. Emas kilbis aleviasan. And there is the fear of the kilbis on the leviasan. Remember again, the leviasan. The leviasan ultimately, again, was this very large sea creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the largest sea creature, probably the largest creature to exist in the natural world. But yet the kilbis, which I will say, introduces sheretz katan, v'nichnas ledag gadol ba'ozno. So well, you know what this sounds like, this kilbis? Some type of parasitic fish, something else, something like parasitic sheretz that lodges itself inside of the Lev Yasan and could literally, I don't know if it could kill the Lev Yasan, drive the Lev Yasan crazy. So we'll say five examples of where small things create fear, ultimately, again, in the heart of something larger. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Maikra, Hamavlik showed Al-Az. Al-Az. So we'll say, quotes over here, the Pasuk says, Hamavlik showed Al-Az. Literally, again, he puts fear of the weak onto the strong. Rabbi Zira. So there's a lot of Musr in that Gemara, I have to understand, because the question that it really forces us to ask ourselves is, there are things that we fear in life. And the question is, do we fear them because we should legitimately fear them? Or do we fear them because, you know, there are some things that are really small and I can handle, but I fear it for a whole variety of reasons. We all fear something. Every once in a while in life, it's good to ask yourself, are the things you are afraid of legitimately things that you should be afraid of? So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira Ashkech l'Rav Yehuda d'havakai apischa d'beichamua. This Rabbi Zeira found Rabbi Yehuda, who was standing at the entranceway of his father-in-law's home. He saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a very good mood, very jovial mood. And they saw that whatever, because Rabbi Yehuda was in such a good mood, whatever they would ask of him, Rabbi Yehuda would answer. Right? He was in a good mood, he would answer any question. I don't know that means to infer that when he wasn't in a good mood, he would answer everything. You're going to see, they weren't asking him really like precise halachic questions. They were asking him more like general questions. So they saw that because he was in such a good mood and so happy, that halach lamaisa he would have answered. Amalei, my time easy maskim bereshava hadar imri. So they asked him, why is it, right, this all to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, why is it that goats normally travel at the head of the pack and sheep only go at the end? Good question. Amalei, kibriyaso shal olam, debereshah chashucha bahadar nora. Because again, the goats and the sheep follow the creation of the world. And when the creation of the world, the world was created, first there was night, then there was light. First there was light, nighttime, then there was day. So too, apparently, Rashi points out, goats are always darker than sheep. So therefore, it's normal that the goats travel first in the pack and then the sheep afterwards. My time, hani mechasyon v'hani megalyon. Why is it that halacha lemaisa, the sheep are covered, Rashi says, mechasen bezanav, right? The sheep are covered with a tail, but yet the goats don't really have a tail, they're revealed. To which the Imar says, hani demachsinon minayu mechasyon, v'hani delo machsinon minayu megalyon. These who we clothe ourselves with are themselves clothed. These who we do not clothe ourselves with are not clothed. We make our clothing from the wool of a sheep. Generally, again, I will say goats do not produce wool that is really suitable for clothing. So because we get our clothing from the sheep, therefore the sheep are quote-unquote clothed with the extra tail. With a tail. Goats who we do not clothe ourselves from, ultimately, again, do not have the tail. I will say, just I want to point out something amazing. What you see through these questions and answers is a very important yisod, which is, everything in the world has a savior, right? There's no such thing. This is the point of these questions and answers. There's no such thing as something that's random. So the fact that the goats go at the front of the pack and the sheep in the back, that's not just haphazard, you know, animal kingdom coordination. There's a savior to this. The fact that sheep have tails and goats do not, there's a seder to this. There's a seder. There's an order. There's a chachma. Remember, this goes back to what we said before. There's no such thing as saying that God has created in this world that is for naught. Everything has a seder. Everything has an order. And I just want to point out, the Musr for us is incredibly important as well, because our entire life is about divine emulation, right? Our entire life is about emulating the Ribono Shel Olam. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world with a Seder, runs his world with an order, we must run our lives with a Seder as well. The things we do have to make sense. The things we do have to follow an order. The things we do have to be part of some greater master plan. The reason so often in life why we don't become the people we really want to and can become is often because we lack seder. Is because we lack order. We lack a plan. We lack a construct, a framework. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in his universe has a seder. We must learn to do the same. The Gemara goes weiter. Naitaima gamlo zutar ganufte. Why is it that camels have short tails? Short tails. I also said, now, by the way, you also understand why they're only asking these questions. They saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a very jovial mood. So they asked him these questions. Now you can understand why. Because we'll say, these are the kind of questions where everybody asks, right? We all ask these questions. These are the kind of things you normally asked in shir when you wanted the Rebbe to waste time, right? Because you did not want him to go on with the material, right? And that's when the Rebbe usually, depending on when you grew up and which yeshiva you went to and what era your rebbeim were from, the reaction would be anything from a little fresk, right? A little patch, ultimately again to some stern rebuke, because these are like, come on. But when they saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a good mood and he was willing to entertain just like general world questions, so they asked them these questions. So the Gemara says, why does the camel have a short tail? Good question. Mishum de achli kisim, because ultimately again the camel eats in thorn bushes. The camel eats thorns or around thorn bushes. If it would have a long tail, its tail would be cut by the thorns. My taima tura aricha gnufte. Why is it that a cow has a long tail? Mishum de dair ba'agme ubay lekarkushe baki, because cows often graze in swamps. Swamps have mosquitoes and gnats, and the cow uses its tail to swat away the mosquitoes and gnats. So we'll say, it's incredible. What Rabbi Yehuda is just saying is, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a well-oiled machine. And even the length of tails, at the end of the day, is not a random fact. It still is part of some greater construct. It's incredible. My time akarna de kamsa krichicha. We'll say, why is it that grasshoppers, this is incredible, grasshoppers have antenna that bend, right? Their antennas are soft, so they're able to bend. Mishum de dari bechilfe, because ultimately, again, grasshoppers often live among willow branches. Vikasha nadya umis avra, because the branches sometimes can be hard. The grasshoppers run around, and if the branches were strong, stiff, then halacha lemaisa, when it would come in contact with the branch, it would crack off. And the moment that a grasshopper loses its antenna, it can't see. It's interesting. They understood that a grasshopper sees, right? It's able to navigate with its antenna. So the Gemara says, "Damer Shmuel, Hayman de Bar de Same lekamsa lishlafuna lekarnik." Because Shmuel said, if you want to blind the grasshopper, for whatever the reason, right, just take out its antenna. So Moses says, therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the antenna soft. So when the grasshopper is hopping around, if it hits a branch, it hits a plant, it hits this, the antenna bends, and ultimately, again, it's able to move forward. Moses, which is another incredible yisod, another incredible Moses very quickly, which is that, halacha lemaisa, if you want to be able to make it through life, you can't be rigid. Because if you have rigidity in life, the first time you hit something, you're going to crack. Something's going to crack. Either you're going to crack or the obstacle is going to crack. Those who are a little bit more malleable, those who are a little bit more fluid, those who are willing to bend a bit more, can navigate a whole variety of circumstances. An incredible yisod. My taima, haitimra detargnulusa, magli le'ela. So I say, why is this fascinating? Apparently, rooster eyelids, the bottom lid goes over the top lid. Right, as opposed to other animals where the top lid goes over the bottom lid, here the bottom lid goes over the top lid. So the Gemara says, why is that? So the Gemara says, this follows, the Gemara says, because this way, the Gemara says, because apparently roosters often go ahead and nest on higher beams, and often smoke rises up, right? Smoke rises. So therefore, again, if their bottom lid would close over the top lid, the top lid over the bottom lid, the smoke would enter in. This way, because the bottom lid closes up, it prevents the smoke from entering into their eyes and blinding them. Pretty amazing. So now the Gemara gets into a couple of etymological statements. The Gemara says, Dasha, why is a doorway called a Dasha? Derech Shan, it's a contraction. The way in is through here. The Gemara says, Darga, stairs are called the Darga. Why? Derech Gag. This is the way up to the roof. Maskulisa. So we'll say maskulisa. What's a maskulisa? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, maskulisa apparently was a type of dip. Rashi's maskulisa is davar shemet matbilin bokigon kusach u'shar liftan. Some type of dip. What does that stand for? Masai tichla da. When will this end? So as Rashi points out that apparently people had these dips for a very long time. He gives a couple of different gersos in it, right? Ultimately, again, or when it ends, what will we eat? Or how long will we have this for? What will we do when it runs out? Fine. Besa. Why is the house called a besa? Ba ve'isiv ba. Come in and sit inside here. Biksa. Shall we say biksa? Normally refers to a very small house. Be'akasa is a contraction. Ultimately, again, be'akasa, a house that is very narrow. Kufsa. So we'll say kufsa is a mortar. Kuf v'siv, something that you could turn over and sit on. Livni. Why are bricks called livni? Libne bani. I will build something for my children. Because you could build something with bricks that will endure even past your lifetime. Hutsa. Hutsa. What's a hutza? Is chatzitz. So we'll say hutza, Rashi says, is geder kotzim ulavim. That's a fence that you make out of reeds or out of palm branches. So where do we get that from? Chatzitza. Because it's a barrier. It's a fence. Chatzba. So we'll say chatzba is a pitcher, usually a water pitcher. Shechotzev mayim min anar. Because you draw out water from it, draw out water with it from the river. Kuza. So we'll say, what's a kuza? So Rashi points out the kuza is kli cheres katan, a small earthenware vessel. Kazeh. So we'll say kazeh usually is a lashon that's used like a little bit like this. So the kuza also only held a little bit of water. Shutisa. So we'll say shutisa is a bundle of myrtles. Rashi says bat shal hadas shimeraktim bo lifnei kala. This was the bundle of myrtles that she would use to dance before the kala at a wedding. So we'll say this is incredible. Why is it called shutisa? Ultimately, again, shtusa. Because people act like fools when they dance it. So we'll say, it's interesting. So Rashi says, you know, sometimes when people dance before a chasen and kala, they look so foolish, right? Now, again, the Gemara is not demeaning that. There's a beauty in that. Because what a person is showing is they're willing to even forego their dignity to bring simcha, to bring joy to the chasen and kala. There's something beautiful. There's something magnificent in that. But they called it, so they used to dance with a bundle of branches. So they called that bundle of branches a shutisa, which literally means shtus, foolish. Because sometimes when people dance in front of the chasen and kala, they look so foolish, but it's a beautiful foolishness. Again, the Gemara is not demeaning it. It's a beautiful foolishness, a desire just to put a smile on the face of the chasen and kala. Maskila or mashichla. So Rashi says over here, this is a safal gadol, this is a large trough that holds water that ultimately people wash themselves from, mashikula, because you could wash your entire body from it. Maskilsa, so I'll say, what's a maskilsa? And Rashi says over here, maskilsa, safal katan vena, this is a small basin that you would wash, mashya kalsa, it's what a bride would wash herself from. Asisa is a hand mortar, chasirta, because there's something missing from it, the hollowed inside part of a mortar was missing from it. Buchna, a pestle, bo ve'akena, bring it here and I will hit it, because that's what you do with a pestle. Levusha, so lo bosha, why is clothing called the levusha? Because ultimately, again, if you wear it, right now, but the truth is levusha, they're really referring to chalik elyon shekorn shrok. This was ultimately, again, an outer garment. So ultimately, again, wear the outer garment, and you will not have busha. Because ultimately, again, if you wear the outer garment, even if your inner clothing is tattered, ultimately, again, it hides the tattered clothing. Galima, cloak, shena'as bo kigalam. It makes you like a shapeless figure, right? Because the cloak hides your features, you become like a shapeless figure. Golsa, we'll say golsa was like a more inner cloak. Actually, over here, makturin no'a. This was like a nice, the best way I can illustrate this is like a bekisha. Right? Everybody wore bekishas, of course, right? So this was like a bekisha. So I'll say, the reason I say this is because it's fascinating. Because how do you sit down? Well, so you ever see how the chassidim, when they sit down with the bekisha, so they take the bottom, like the bottom corners, and like flip it up. That's how they used to sit down with their cloaks in the times of the Gemara as well. Because you don't want the robe or the cloak. This is not really a cloak, because cloak is something we're outer. This was more something inner. You don't want your inner robe to hit against the dirt. So they would take the corners, flip it up around their waist, revealing their legs. So the Gemara goes back there. The Gemara says, Purya Shepar Vravnale. Why is a bed called a Purya? Because that's where people procreate. Bor Zinka. What's a Bor Zinka? So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Bor Zinka is a pit that used to have water, but then subsequently dried up. So why is it called the Bar Zinka? Bar Zenaki. ultimately, again, because this pit is nucky, literally, again, it's freed from all of its water. Sudra, we'll say, is a head wrapping that was often worn by Talmidei Chachamim, Sod Hashem Liyireyav. Ultimately, again, the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to those who fear Him. Apadna, ultimately, again, so what's an Apadna? Apischa Din. So we'll say Apadna, Rashi says over here, is a palace. That's what a palace is, right? And why is it called an Apadna? Because Apischa Din. Everyone comes to this entranceway. In other words, we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Apischa El Pesach Zo Yavo HaKol Im LeMishpat Im LeSharis HaMelech. So we'll say, Saloch LaMaisa, the Gemara says, at some point in time, everyone needs the king. So because everyone needs the king, therefore again, that's why the Apadna, everyone needs this Pesach. We'll end off, Tan Rabbanon, Shlosha, Kol Zman Shemaskinin Mosifin Gvura. There are three things that as they get older, become stronger. Elohein, Dag, Nachash, V'Chazir. Three things we'll say that become stronger as they get older. The fish, the snake, and the chazir, and the pig. So we'll say, we don't have time, but maybe next week we'll focus a little bit on what that means. Or you'll look, use your Shabbos homework. There's a lot of meaning, a lot of depth that is dafka these three things. If you notice, apparently people, right, are not in this category, right? So there are some things that get stronger. Whatever, we'll have to define what kivura means. Can't do it today, unfortunately. Also, we'll stop over here. Shir tomorrow night is, I think, well, it's not at the time, but I believe it's at 9:30. Rabbi Yehuda Neuberger will be giving the Shem Yiratz Hashem. We'll stop here. Sammy Esterson is going to be leading us again in davening this morning. Again, a reminder, today is Yom Yerushalayim. Sammy Yiratz Hashem will have a beautiful halal as well. Yashar Koach to everyone, and wishing everyone a beautiful and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos, a beautiful, another week of wonderful learning. Thank you.